Yeah. We have made it again. Oh, Nicholas Wetmore.
Yeah?
How are you? You got what I need.
Had a little car issues.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Oh, yeah. Transmission and some timing belt of some sort.
Oh, Lord. Did it pop on you?
I was waiting for the guy to say that my car was wearing black pants and a brown belt, and that just won't do. Damn it, fashion police.
Damn it, man.
But no big deal. While I was waiting there yesterday, and for the diagnosis, I did read a little bit of Warren Ellis's Global Frequency.
Oh, do tell.
I think I'm halfway done now. Six issues, seven issues in. Yeah. And one, didn't know anything about it. Two, didn't know they were all self-contained stories. And three, didn't know... Well, sorry, I have four. Three, didn't know that there were different artists every issue, which is something that we've discussed before. Like, who the hell cares? Like, if you can bring in John Muth to do just one issue, isn't that better than, like, I just want to see his work. I don't expect him to do 12 issues. Well, and four, David Baron's colors are...
Yeah.
Good God, they are changing almost every issue. They are so different. They totally adapt to the style of the artist. It's really impressive. It is a clinic. Like, his Steve Dillon coloring, completely different than, like, Muth's coloring. Really neat.
Nice.
Yeah. But this is the era of Ellis that I like. I like when he's talking about the government. He's talking about secret agencies. He, like, oh, this is the fun stuff right here.
Nice.
Yeah.
See, aren't you glad I did not vote for No Man's Land?
Yes. But now Mike Myers sent me down the Spider-Man Clone Saga War, so that will be six books I have to read instead of No Man's Land, which is, what, five?
Yeah.
It's like, damn it!
Yeah. I've got it queued up pretty high up, though. I'm finishing up Annihilation this weekend, nice. And then next week I'm going to start The Invisibles. And then I can start the Clone Saga.
Oh, I like that. Well, you'll easily catch up to where I am, so.
Maybe.
I think you're a faster reader than I am, so.
Yeah, maybe. It is Ellis. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, to be honest with you, I could read that faster, but I just really just, my eyeball goes all over every panel. It is, I don't know if Vertigo reached out to these artists or Ellis reached out to these artists, but they are like perfect marriages, and he has top notch. Like, there is no talent on that book that I don't recognize, down to colorists and down to letterers. So they either want to jump on the Ellis train or they're just hooked into Vertigo. And because I do remember there was a point in Vertigo where, like, every creative person I dig was doing maybe a one-off story, but still they were doing a story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
It is. That's an all-star art team.
Mm-hmm. You know what it sort of reminds me of? 100 Bullets a little bit.
Oh, I could see that.
Just like how self-contained stuff is. Which I love. I like that Azzarello. So,
yeah, I can see that. 100 Bullets is good.
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, my buddy Gunderstorm, he recommended reading it, and it was one of those, like, he gave me the first trade, and as soon as I finished that first trade, I was just like, I have to go to the library and get all of these trades.
Old Gundy, he's the best.
Dude, I burned through them so quickly. It was, oh my gosh, it's such a great read. And fast-paced, too. Yeah. Like, there was no slope. Like, I mean, I love Preacher, but there's a couple arcs in Preacher that are like, you're sort of, it isn't a trudge, but it's one of those, like, it's just a little slower paced and you feel every page. But 100 Bullets, my God, maybe it was just my mind frame, but man, was that a fast, fun read.
Was your mind telling you no, but your body was telling you yes?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
Hey, I have one question for this episode, and I don't care wherever you want to lead this episode, feel free, but I have one question for you, Martin Ferretti.
Yes.
What is on your watch list? What have you been watching?
Oh, watching like TV watching.
TV, move, stuff. How about viewing at home? What has been on your viewing list?
Whole bunch of Hearthstone YouTube videos.
Oh, jeez. Is there a tournament going on right now?
There was an HTC, yeah, that just finished.
Okay.
I subscribe to a few Hearthstone players, and I watch their VODs.
Nice.
I don't watch them on Twitch. Well, there's one that I watch on Twitch once in a while, but on YouTube. In terms of TV, the greatest show of all time came back, The 100. So I've been watching that.
Is that a bingeable show, or is that comes out every week on CW or whatever?
It comes out every week on CW. It's season 5. Episode 3 came out last night. I watched it today, and it's really good.
Can I ask a tangent at this point?
Yes.
And I still want to get back to your viewing list, because I think I love updates, and I hope our Legionnaires love updates. Oh, welcome to the comfy couch, Martin Ferretti, Nick Wetmore, blah, blah, blah. Regarding the 100, actually, regarding your viewing habits, now that things are so easily bingeable, do you find it tough to wait that week?
No, very few things.
Okay.
The 100 I like to watch like as quickly as I can, because I love the world. Mm. In particular, when they deal, I don't know, you've never seen it, have you?
No.
Okay. So I'll give you a brief synopsis of the show. It takes place 100 years in the future, and there was a nuclear holocaust on Earth. There were people that knew this was coming, and they went up into space and lived in orbit. And then after 100 years, their supplies are running out, like they're overpopulated, and they decide to send down 100 kids. That's why it's called the 100. 100 kids down to Earth. And they're all troublemakers. And to see if Earth is habitable again. And
so they're completely cut off from the Earth communication-wise for 100 years.
There is no communication.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's interesting.
So they just assume that everybody died in the nuclear holocaust.
Wow.
So they're going to see if it's habitable. And as it turns out, it is habitable. And like you don't see a whole lot of cityscapes. But there are like a couple buildings that you see or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that it is habitable, and there are still people there who survived this holocaust. And they call them the Grounders, because they live on the ground.
Mm.
And it's really interesting. What I like the most about the show is that they have a conlang that they invented for the show, a constructed language. As you know, Nick Wetmore, I'm a linguistics nerd.
Yes, you are.
And I really love the language that was created for the show, because it's an evolution of English. And so you can kind of know what they're saying, but not always. And there's a lot of like military jargon that was turned into just common speak. Like the word to fight, for example, is gunplay, which literally means gunplay, but it translates to fight.
Now, is this when they show this language? Do they show like subtitles?
Yeah, yeah, there's subtitles
of what it of what it means. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's subtitled. And then, gotcha. So in the Grounder culture, all the common people only speak Grounder. But then, like the elite class, so like the warriors and the Empress is called the Commander. They also speak English. They retained that from the past. Anyway, throughout the seasons, like at first it was the people that were in space against the Grounders, and then there was a third group in the next season that escaped to, oh god, it's some kind of, it's a real thing. I can't remember what the hell the name of it was, but it was like a mountain fortress type thing. So they lived in the mountain, and so they were also impervious to the nuclear holocaust. But their thing was weirder because since they were never exposed to radiation, they couldn't go outside because even the trace radiation hurt them. The people that have been in space aren't really affected by the radiation because they've been radiated in space. In this season, there was another big holocaust. There was a second nuclear holocaust caused by this AI that apparently caused the original one. And
wow.
Some of the people went to live underground in this bunker. Some went up into space in this station, the space station that was still up there. And one of the main characters stayed behind on Earth because there's this thing called, this is so complicated. It's hard to explain five seasons of a show. The commander of the Grounders gets picked through this like fight to the death. Between what do they call them? Nachbleeders. They're people that have black blood, because there was a scientist that found a way to allow people to survive by genetically manipulating their blood so they can survive nuclear radiation. And so the ancestors of these people with this black blood, there's like this whole religion that was created around them, and there's like different Nightbloods in all the different tribes, and at one point they have to all battle each other, and whoever wins, the last man standing becomes the commander and rules all the different tribes. It's really interesting though. It's like, it's very sci-fi, but it's also a little Mad Max, which I really like. And
I have a few questions.
Yeah.
Just on what you said. Sure. You said five seasons.
Five.
There was another holocaust.
Yes, season 4.
Is that because, is the AI sentient?
Yes.
So it's like a Terminator 2 thing?
Yes.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
This is on CW?
It is.
And so does that mean, whoa.
Yes.
Here's my tangent.
Oh.
CW, so does that mean when they send down the 100, these Grounders, these elite warriors, since it's on CW, can I just assume that everybody is beautiful?
Of course.
Okay, thank God. Oh, thank God. Okay, we're good.
I mean, you can't have ugly people on the CW.
No, God forbid. Holocaust doesn't ruin those looks.
No, the Holocaust kills the ugly people, yes. And then the beautiful people stay behind.
It does sound good. I gotta say,
it is. It's great.
Like, you're hitting a lot of touchstones. It's like, ooh, I gotta check this out.
It's great. And the only person that I know that I speak to regularly that watches the show is Ronnie, and Ronnie loves it about as much as I do.
Nice.
Yeah. The first Grounder that they meet in that first season, he is the show lead for American Gods. He's the main character in American Gods. I can't remember his name in the book.
I might have seen him at C2E2.
Might have. Yeah. Might have.
There were quite a few American God people there.
Yep. So they killed him in the 100 because he was going to be doing American Gods. The girl that was the original commander, the leader of the Grounders, she was also killed in the 100 because she went. And she's the daughter in Fear of the Walking Dead.
Jiminy.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like whoever's casting this show has been casting pretty good people.
It's great. And there is a comic connection. Because the Benson sisters write The 100. And they also write Batgirl and the Birds of Prey for DC.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I guess that's going away, but they're writing something else for DC. I can't remember what it is.
I'm sure they will be.
Yeah.
If they want to be.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, the CW can take care of them, I'm sure.
No doubt.
Now that it's hit probably syndication at this point, so I'm sure they're okay.
I don't know if it's hit syndication, but the good thing about CW shows is that the week that they end, they go on Netflix.
Oh, wow. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, you didn't know that? Yeah, that's been, I think they started that last year.
Dang.
Yeah.
That might have kept me going with The Flash and all of the superhero stuff.
Yep, all that's on there.
I would have known that.
Black Lightning Season 1 just finished. It's already on Netflix.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah, they worked out some kind of deal. Because
that's smart.
So you used to be able to watch the CW shows on Hulu. But then when CW came out with their own app, they took their shows off of Hulu.
Yep, and that's when I lost interest in CW shows.
Well, but I mean, you can watch them on the app.
Yeah, I didn't like the app.
Oh. Yeah, I don't like the app too much, but...
It only has, like, the last 5 episodes, and things go off real quick.
Yes.
You do have to kind of keep up. Back to my original question. Mm-hmm. I am the opposite of you. I only want to binge watch stuff.
Mm.
So I will let shows pile up for 4 or 5 episodes, and then I'll be like, all right, let's watch it. In my head, I'm thinking, this is the mid-season. Let's watch the whole entire mid-season.
You know what's interesting? I'm finding myself, I used to be that way, but I'm finding myself losing interest when I binge watch.
Mm. I do that, but I do that with everything. By the end of any season,
yeah,
the last 2 episodes, I'll be like, my wife and I will be watching whatever it is, Top Chef. And by like the third to the last episode, all of a sudden she'll notice like Nick's face is in his iPad, or halfway through the episode, I go out to the kitchen and start washing dishes. Mm-hmm. And she's like, don't you want to watch this? I'm like, nah, I'll listen to it. And then she just knows like, the next question she could always ask is, can I just watch this without you then? Yeah, go ahead. I don't care.
Yeah.
I just get burned out.
Well, that's because you're watching too much at once.
Maybe, but I also don't want to lose the storyline. At this point, I view my memory like it's only going to take in so much. Like, it is a burner phone. Mm-hmm. Like, I will... If you were to show me, if I had to wait like 3-4 weeks to watch the next installment of something, like even like the David Letterman interview thing on Netflix, I could watch that because that has no ties to the previous episode. But if I had to wait a month for from the mid-season finale for them to release the second part of the season, I would be like, I don't even know where this is. I have no, like, my memory is like a burner phone. I watch it, I digest it, and then I throw it right out.
So what I found is the shows that I end up binge watching are shows that I'm losing interest in.
Oh, wow.
And so I'll let them pile up so I can watch them all at once, you know, like 3 or 4 at a time.
So Netflix must be deadly for you because everything is bingeable. So it's like, my guess is you get halfway through the season and you're like, on to the next thing.
No, because the thing about Netflix is I know that the stuff is going to be there, right?
That's true.
In particular with the originals.
Yeah.
So I don't feel the need to watch all the whole season at once because I know it's going to be there. So, you know, when I get to it, I get to it. But I can go and do other stuff that I enjoy, like read a shit ton of comics.
That's very true.
Like the one that I'm having that with now is the 3%. Which I know Aaron loves. And it's also kind of a dystopian TV show. Because, you know, I love me some dystopia. And season one I binge-watched. It's a Brazilian show. It's in you can watch it in Portuguese with English subtitles, or you can watch it dubbed in English. But, I mean, what kind of animal does that? Just watch it in the original language and read the subtitles, like a normal human being.
Agreed.
But season two just came out, and I watched the first two episodes, and I haven't gone back yet. Not because it's not good, it's a great season, but it's an original, so I know it's going to be there. Like Jessica Jones, season two, I haven't even watched it yet. And I love Jessica Jones.
So if, like, Netflix has a BBC America show on, or a CW show, you're more drawn to that because in the back of your head, you're thinking, well, that could just go away. Next month, that could be gone.
Yep.
Yeah, I see that.
Yep. Or movies in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
I get it. I understand. What else are you viewing?
I'm trying to think what else I've seen. I'm still trying to make time to watch that Batman Ninja, which I've been saying I've been wanting to watch it for the past week, and I keep putting it off. not because I don't want to watch it. It's because now I'm scared to watch it. Because you know what it is? Julian. Julian ruined it.
I was just about to say it had to be Julian.
It was Julian's fault.
He was searching for something fantastic and positive to say about it.
He was. He was searching very hard.
Yeah. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. But so we'll see. If I hadn't seen his comments on it, then I probably wouldn't have worried too much. because I enjoyed Aaron and Ronnie's conversation on Absolute DC.
So did I.
And it seemed to me like I was going to be on Aaron's side. Because Ronnie's wrong.
No, that's true.
But now that my brother chimed in, I'm not sure.
Yeah, thrown a little.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, what else have I watched? I started watching The Rain. I'm two episodes in on that. That is also a Netflix original.
Yeah,
it is. I want to say it's a Danish show or maybe Swedish. Also, somewhat dystopian. And it's really good.
I'm really enjoying it. We've had Netflix discussions over the years. You know what I'm really digging? I remember we talked about Netflix spending a crap ton of money bringing content into their channel.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while it felt like, are you just going to be spending money on comedy?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
At this point, it felt like they just wanted to shut down Comedy Central. But now, I would say the last year, it went beyond, we are going to go after anime. And it felt like they were really going after anime.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever anyone wants to say about Hulu used to have a lot of anime.
Oh, yeah.
But now, you look at Netflix, and I am pleasantly, happily surprised that they are going after as many like international TV shows that maybe I've never ever heard of.
Hmm.
But yet you read the description and it's like, yep, I'm putting that in my queue. Or you watch the little like trailer while you're like pausing on it.
Yep.
And just the scenes is like, man, it looks like they spent some money, or man, that looks interesting.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter what country it's from, but man, is Netflix putting a lot of money into that.
Yep.
Yeah, I love it.
It's true. I was talking to my wife, who only watches like two shows.
Mm-hmm.
She has Intervention on constant loop, and Breaking Bad. She started it again.
Yeah, there you go.
That's also on constant loop. But we were talking about Netflix, and she told me that apparently Netflix's focus right now is on horror and sci-fi. And a large chunk of their budget, I don't remember what it was, like $8 billion they're spending on acquiring content.
Mm-hmm.
A large chunk of that, like I think like 80% is horror and sci-fi.
That does sort of make sense, because a lot of horror can be done on the cheap. And as long as it's done well, you know, like the best horror and suspense is done through editing and music.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really what you show. It's how, what you make the listener or viewer feel.
Yep.
So it's pretty smart to go after stuff like that. I just hope they keep up with documentaries, because it's the only service I can really go to and get documentaries, because Amazon should be rocking documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell Amazon's doing. I don't feel like they're doing anything right now other than their, you know, their original stuff, but they're not putting it out enough to be anything that I would be like, let me surf over to Amazon and see what's new over there. Like, I don't even go over there to see what's new.
These things take time.
Agreed. But guess what? All of the money that that Netflix was spending, and people were like, you know they're going to jack up the price. You know they're going to... And they were bitching and moaning and like, what are they doing? What are they doing? Well, now, you know, whatever it is, a year and a half later, this is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they actually had a vision.
I mean, I don't mind the jacking up the price too much. I think... what is it? Prime is going up next month.
Yeah.
And I think Netflix either just went up or is about to go up again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind it, dude. Like, as long as the content is there where I feel like I'm getting my money's worth, I don't give a shit.
I totally would agree. I just don't want it to be like cable where every January, let's jack it up. Because that's why I dropped cable.
Yeah.
At some point, it's just like, nope. Nope. And before, cable used to always be, they would jack it up and then they'd be like, we acquired, you know, whatever it is, the Big Ten network and this other animal network. And it's like, well, these two channels might make it worth it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you always just sort of played that game. And then all of a sudden, 4 months later, you realize, I ain't watching those two new channels. What the hell?
You know what? Hey, I am going to be watching, though.
Can I recommend a show for your wife?
Of course.
I don't know if it's streaming or not. I think it is streaming, actually. But it's from FX.
Archer.
And it's called... No. And it's it's called The Bridge. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah, that's a remake.
Yeah, it's a remake of a...
I want to say Swedish or Norwegian or something like that.
Yes, it's the same concept, but the concept is now the bridge that goes from the U.S. to Mexico.
Right.
Yeah.
That
but
bridge.
It's really strong, strong performances. The actors are... if she likes character, like Breaking Bad, like I like the characters and the scenario of Breaking Bad. And this is the same, like, it scratches that itch really well.
I might try to recommend that again to her. We started to watch the first season when it was first put on Netflix, and she didn't really dig it.
Mm.
But, you know, that maybe that's different now.
It's a slow burn.
It
but
is.
I think Breaking Bad was a slow burn, too.
Very, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. As long as there's a payoff and it's worth the wait, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'll stick with it.
What was the that other show? It came out around the same time as The Bridge with, oh God, Gillian Anderson.
Oh, I can even see it in my head.
What is
and
the that, name
and
of that
was
show?
A remake too.
That was a remake also.
Dang it, it's in my queue. It was in my queue since the day I got Netflix. Damn it, I can't recall.
Is it The Fall?
Maybe.
Yeah, The Fall. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's also a Swedish or Norwegian show that they remade.
Gotcha.
I'll tell you, the one that I'm looking forward to the most right now is that DC Unlimited.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They can take all my monies.
Hmm. I would need more content that I haven't watched on there.
Well, okay. So they haven't announced everything yet, but you already know all the back catalog is going to be there.
Yeah.
Right? And then they have, I think it was like four shows maybe? The new Young Justice. There's a Harley Quinn animated. There's a Swamp Thing live action.
That could be interesting.
That could be interesting. And there was another one. I can't remember what it was. Oh, the Teen Titans. Or Titans.
Yeah, I saw some of George Perez posted some on set photos. That could be interesting.
Yeah, that looks interesting. But rumor is, and again, this is a rumor, because they haven't announced anything yet, but rumor is that DC Unlimited is going to include comics.
Hey, if they did that, I would sign up for that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a cool way to go.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd be willing to give them 15, 20. I would pay $20 for that.
Would you?
Oh, yeah.
It depends on how many comics they're giving me.
I mean, if they do like Marvel Unlimited, where it's a 6-month wait.
Well, how do you know? Or are they just going to give you, like, here's 5 issues this month. Download them. Here's your URL. Just download those 5.
I hope that's not the case, because that's what they were doing with whatever the app is that they have now. What's it called? DC All Access.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's pretty much just like news and like quizzes and then like phone wallpapers. Like, I don't give a shit about any of that. Now, granted, it's free, but I don't care about any of that stuff. And they do give out like comics every once in a while.
There's not enough long form content on All Access. Like, I subscribe to their YouTube channel.
Yep, me too.
But everything is not even small digestible chunks. They are like micro small.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, okay, you're going to tell me about the, like, okay, good example is like, new books for the week of XYZ. And that video's runtime is 1:31.
Yep.
Like, I want that to be 12 minutes. Go in depth about that. Like, that you have over 52 books coming out that month. Like, you're going to have a good 20 issues. If you include trades, probably 20 pieces of content you could talk about. And you're whipping through it in 1:31?
You got to think about the audience, Nick. I mean,
if you want long-form content.
If you look at the hosts of that show, to me, they're slightly annoying.
Okay.
Some extremely annoying.
Sure.
Like the guy that just got fired, I can't remember his name.
Jawan.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah. And he actually knew his comics way before they let him go.
Yeah, he was awesome. The the new guy that took his place, not so much. In fact, extremely annoying. And, I mean, he might be a super nice dude. He might know comic books. But I don't get the same feeling that I had with the other guy. You know, I get the feeling like they write a script for him, and he just reads it in a really annoying way.
Sure.
And so I think, as a result, the audience that they want for DC All Access is much younger than us. Because I agree with you. I want longer content. It should be 15, 20 minutes. I have no problem spending 15, 20 minutes on a YouTube video. But the churn, as they say here in the South, the churn, they don't want that. The kids just want like a 2-minute video.
Yeah, and I get, but there's a balance that you could strike.
Well, maybe the balance is reached when they launch a paid service, because maybe people that are paying for it are obviously not children.
Maybe. I have a couple box sets of animated stuff.
Yeah.
And I ain't gonna pay a monthly service to watch that. I can go down in the basement. Like, I want
it's so much work to go to the basement.
No, it isn't.
So much work.
And to be honest with you, I am not a rewatcher like you guys. So,
look, I don't even lift a remote to watch shows. I just tell Alexa to put it on TV for me.
Well, here nor there. I am not a rewatcher of content.
Yeah.
Even my favorite content. At this point, I look at Netflix and it's like, my queue is almost tapped out of stuff I've never, ever seen. So why would I waste 2 hours watching something I've already seen and loved when I can watch a brand new thing that I've never, ever seen? Sure, it might not be as good, but at least I can, you know what, I can go over, give it a thumbs up, thumbs down, and you know what I can do? Remove that from my list. Ah, there it goes. Bye-bye.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I will get it when it comes out.
Hey, if they wrap that up with digital comics, yeah, without a doubt. And you can charge a hell of a lot more than Marvel Unlimited. Because that I will just wait until my birthday rolls around in the fall, and I'll be like, you know, hey, who wants to get me a present? Boop. Thank you to my wife. Yep. Now I have that for a year.
Yep. And you know, here's the thing, Nick. This is going to lead into a different conversation. But it is related. The thing is, people don't want to pay for stuff. You know what I mean?
Wait, roll that back, because you just said you'd pay $20 a month for this.
I'm getting there.
Are you saying people don't want to pay for physical content?
For what something is worth.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Sure.
So, like, Marvel Unlimited, I would say a large chunk of people, at least the people that I talk to that have Marvel Unlimited, don't do the month to month. They pay for a full year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, it does come out cheaper that way. What's a full year? When it's on sale, it's like $60.
When it's on sale, I thought it was $49.
Okay, $49. I think regular price is what, like $70, $80?
Yeah, I thought it's like six. It depends on if you get the dumb action figure, but I could swear that it was like $60 or $70.
Yeah, the premium membership is $100 a year, I think. You can get the action figure and a t-shirt, and you can go to like panels.
I know, which I couldn't get into this year. Damn it.
See, if you had a Premium Unlimited subscription, you could have.
When I ask for something from my wife, I don't want it to be the same price as buying a video game system.
I hear you.
For my birthday.
I hear you. But
trust me, getting like the UFC Fight Pass and getting the NFL Pass.
Yeah.
Like those are both $99. And I feel horrible to be like, hey, is there any way you can get this for me for Christmas? This is the only thing I want, knowing that she's going to get something else.
They don't give you a deal? Because, see, that's what I do with NHL.
No.
NHL is the only one I subscribe to. And I get it for like $30 a year. Because,
oh, shoot.
Because when the season's about to end, I'll cancel it. And they're like, come back. And I'm like, no, come back, no. And then when the new season is about to start, they're like, we noticed that you canceled and you wouldn't come back. We'll give it to you for a penny. And be like, hell yes.
Dang. Note to self, I might have to get the NHL network.
Yeah, NHL is like, I think like $30 or $40 a year.
And there's
a ton of games.
I gotta say, that is a very intriguing proposition.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Because as soon as February hits, I don't have anything to watch right now.
Mm.
So to have NHL and the playoffs going till, you know, May, June, that sounds really nice.
See?
Yeah.
And it's a fun sport to watch.
But like that, the NFL packet, well, UFC does not do this because they don't have an on-season, off-season.
Mm-hmm.
But the NFL, like this year, I waited to grab it. I didn't grab it the first week. So I missed all the preseason games and like the first 3 weeks of games. So by the time I got it, I had a reduced rate because I missed like, I don't know, 5 weeks of content.
Yeah.
So I could still go back and watch all that stuff, which I did, but they reduced the price. So it was like, I don't know, $84 or something like that. So that was good. It's like good to know because it's like, guess what? If I'm busy or like, you know, I have a lot of like vacations and stuff like that where I know I'm not going to be watching football, well, why get it and just, you know, buy it early when I know I could hold out, buy it late and get a reduced price?
Mm. Yes.
But go ahead. Back to your point about content, people not wanting to pay its value.
Yeah. All right. So I started to talk about this last week on that other show that I do. Look, I'm not plugging it. I didn't name it. But you can find it at nerdlegion.com/podcast/CTT. you know, remember I put that poll out on Twitter about comic pricing. Yes. And it seemed like the majority of people were choosing the $3.99, which is what comics are now. But as I noticed in the comments of the poll, even though they were paying that, it was too much to pay for a comic. I would say most people thought that the sweet price for a comic would be $2.99. With Marvel Unlimited, we'll just say $50 a year, because that's a nice round number. You pay $50 a year, and you have pretty much unlimited access to, 60 years worth of comics.
It's a pretty good library at this point.
It's a large chunk.
Yeah.
I mean, you could read 2 or 3 comics a month and more than pay the price that you're paying for the subscription service. But I mean...
And even people like you and Ronnie...
Yes.
Both of you have read just a huge amount of Marvel.
Yes.
And I'm sure if I gave you a year and gave you time to read 60 issues every month from Marvel Unlimited, and that doesn't include repeat reads, I'm sure at the end of that year, even with all the history of what you've already read, you still can easily find stuff you've never ever read.
Easily.
Yeah, so, it's pretty head spinning considering like the first year of Marvel Unlimited was
garbage.
Very, very similar to the first year of Comixology Unlimited.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And yeah. That's another one. Comixology Unlimited is great right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's $6 mm-hmm. a month.
Yeah.
So, to me, Marvel is undercharging for Unlimited. If they raised it to something that I think would be more appropriate for the amount of content in there, we'll just say like $15 or $20.
Okay.
Nobody would get it.
Would they have a case if DC came out of the block, they included video streaming? And they let's just say they include video streaming, and we're going to give you, just like Marvel Unlimited, we're going to do DC Unlimited. But you also realize that DC Unlimited is going to be starting out at year one, just like Marvel Unlimited did. What's the price point, would you guess, that they're going to go for?
Well, first of all, I think even for year one, there's going to be more content than Marvel Unlimited. Because
than Marvel Unlimited right now.
Maybe not Marvel Unlimited right now, okay. But definitely more than Marvel Unlimited in the first year.
Sure.
And the reason I think that is because this service has been talked about for at least a year. And so I have no doubt that there's going to be a large, large library that will make it well worth whatever they end up charging for it.
Well, all of the heavy lifting, the scanning of their content, a lot of it has already been done year after year after year because they have to do it for other services.
Yes.
Unlike Marvel, who was trying to get out ahead of the ball as well as give content to Comixology and other like services, but they were also trying to scan in all that stuff for their own service.
Yep.
Yeah, so DC definitely will have a head start, but where do you think their price point is? Because you know they're going to come out of the gate saying, look what Marvel Unlimited doesn't do. Look what we're streaming. Look, original content. And they do have all that content, and I'm sure it's all pretty well going to be ready to go, or they're going to show people a roadmap of like, right now we have one season of Batman the Animated Series. Next year, we'll have 3 more added. The following year, we'll finish up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they'll give you a roadmap for you to be like, let me judge what you're showing me. I think I am going to buy the year because the year's cheaper than a month at this price.
Yep.
What is that price?
I would be surprised if they launch any higher than $9.99.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So it's already double what Marvel Unlimited is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So now, this question leads to my next one. And to be honest with you, I could see it be $15.99 a month. Or you buy it for a year and it comes out to $12, $120 or $119 for a year. You know what I'm saying? Like they're going to reduce it a little bit, but let's just go like by the month price. My next question for you is, does Marvel see this? And they come back and say, yes, we don't have streaming content. Sorry. Oh, well. But DC only has X amount of digital downloads available to you right now. Of course, they're going to have to stress right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we have 5 times as much available right now. So yes, we do have to raise our rates, but we're offering you 4 times as much content. Like there's no way Marvel can stay at this price point when their competitor is so much more, twice as much.
Well, and that depends, right? So we're working on the conjecture that DC Unlimited will be shows and comics.
But we're having fun in this non-judgmental play box.
Oh yeah, no. I agree. So here's the thing. I don't know if Marvel would do that. I think what's going to happen is Marvel Unlimited will remain only comics, and then Disney is going to have their separate streaming service, which they've already announced that they're doing it, right? They bought the company that created the MLB app.
Mm-hmm.
Which also makes the ESPN app, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds right.
So they bought that company to have a platform, a pre-existing platform, to base their own service on. And the thing is, with DC, or with Marvel, they don't need to include TV shows and the comics. They can have Marvel Unlimited separate, because Disney owns Marvel ESPN, which I guess that's also getting a new service,
which I'm uber excited for.
Dude, that's going to kill cable subscriptions.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank God. I've been waiting for this for 4 years now. Because to be honest with you, you know what? And I don't know if I ever told, the one thing I miss about cable is live sports and then ESPN shows or like-minded shows that are just talking heads reviewing and analyzing, you know, the previous week's games or talking about the upcoming games. That's the stuff that I miss. And to be honest with you, if they gave me a price point of like $10 a month, $15 a month, I think I would do it. Because I hate to say it, at the end of the year, I'm still well below the price of 1 month of cable. Because all I really want is ESPN. Just give me ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, your point about Disney is pretty spot on. So if it stays, because Disney would be making the money either way. Same with Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
So they're making plenty of money on the comic thing. Then here's our little segment of Marvel content with Disney content with, you know, whatever else. And people are the same people that are going to be buying Marvel Unlimited will just look at the Disney service and, yep, I have kids and I like Pixar. Yep, I'll buy that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're almost double dipping. And at that point, I could see that price even being more expensive than what we're trying to guess what DC is going to be.
Sure.
Price-wise.
Yeah.
Like if it's $15, I could see Disney alone being $15, and then Marvel Unlimited is another $5.
Or bundle them for like an extra dollar.
Sure.
Get Disney Unlimited and get Marvel Unlimited for an extra dollar.
But my point is, either service from Marvel, from Disney, either service can tout, they can tout that, like Marvel Unlimited can brag, we have four times as much content than DC has right now. And oh my God, they were half the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see there's a good percentage of people that would look at that value and be like, yeah, you're sort of talking to me. I do love some titles of DC, but I also love some titles of Marvel. Like, that would talk to them a little bit.
What I find interesting, though, is that we're talking about Disney and DC and not Disney and Time Warner. And mm-hmm. the reason I say that is because I feel like when Disney puts out their service, it's going to have Disney, and it's going to have Marvel, and it's going to have the 500 other companies that they own.
Yeah.
Whereas DC Unlimited will be just DC content, not but whatever else Time or what? Yeah, Time Warner, right? Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Whatever else Warner Brothers does.
Mm-hmm.
I find that interesting.
But what the hell's going to happen to Hulu, since that is a DC property?
I think,
or not DC, that it's a Disney property.
Yeah, Hulu's going to be fine because Disney has a majority stake in there.
But it's still, is that just going to be repeating content?
Well, not necessarily, because then you have other networks putting their stuff on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's still owned by many different networks. It's just a majority stake from Disney.
But will you take ABC content and throw it up on both?
Yeah, I mean, that's... I don't even know what ABC puts out, so I couldn't even tell you if that'd be something that I would even care about.
Yeah, it seems like you already have the content. A lot of people probably wouldn't even think that you're double dipping. But why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Content's king.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, Marvel is doing some new original programming. I think I talked about it on that other show a few weeks ago.
Nice.
Which I was confused about. Because they had like four different new shows. I think one's like a relaunch of whatever they're doing now. That's kind of like a DC All Access type show. But they're mm-hmm. relaunching in a longer format. But it seemed like, I think they announced like five new shows, and four were kind of like just talking head shows, like talk shows with interviews.
Weird.
But there were like four different shows with different hosts, and that didn't make sense to me. Like, why are you having so many interview shows? Just have like one interview show, the interview show. And then they had like the one Marvel cooking show. Which I think could be fun, but that's weird. Like, who does that appeal to?
I like Marvel and I like cooking shows, but I...
You see what I'm saying? So, like, you and me will watch it, but, like...
Well, who's hosting it?
I don't even know.
Is it going to be Emma Frost? Is it going to be Mary Jane Parker? I'll watch it.
I hear you. Me too. Yeah, I don't know. And the thing is, even the cooking show is kind of an interview show, because they're cooking with like a creator, you know what I'm saying? Like, or like an actor from one of the movies or something like that.
Yeah, but if you think about it, those talking head shows are pretty cheap to do.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
It's like the new reality show.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually funny, because that's where I'm up to. I'm reading this book right now called The Attention Merchants. And it's absolutely fascinating. It starts off in like the 1800s, about the first newspaper that started using the readership as a means of generating revenue, not just advertising. And it was funny too, because they were doing like fake ads just so people would want to buy ads, because they see all these other businesses advertising in the newspaper.
Sure.
Like you
own a hat store and all of a sudden you see this ad for like Nick's hat, you know, Nick's whatever. And then all of a sudden, like, they're calling up the paper and be like, hey, look, we need a bigger ad than this Nick's hat place.
Yeah, exactly. But he was selling his newspaper for like a dollar.
Smart.
It was a the New York Sun, which I don't think it's being published anymore. But it was, I want to say, up to, I mean, within the last 20 years, I would say it was still around. Because I remember seeing it in newsstands. But so he was selling his newspaper for a penny because he was making money on the advertising. Whereas other newspapers were charging like, you know, whatever, 10 cents because that's how they were funding the newspaper. And how, like, that whole thing kicked off through a series of events into what we have now with, you know, technology companies using people as the product as a way of generating revenue. And it was interesting, too, because that was, like, the origin of fake news, too. Because here's the thing. One thing that I've realized long ago when I started podcasting is that I conscientiously don't do the shock show type thing.
Right? Should we be doing the shock show?
I mean, like, you could maybe say that this show is kind of that kind of thing. Because we do talk about some bullshit. But we do talk about very serious stuff also.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm talking about is like the part that I am now, they talk about the beginning of reality TV. And then leading into Oprah and how Oprah begat like Ricky Lake and all those Geraldo Rivera and all those other shows. And the thing is, you know, now all these people are worried about like fake news this, fake news that. But the thing is, like, people don't really give a shit about news. They just want to be entertained. And unfortunately, it doesn't kind of translate across. And so even though they're being entertained, they're being fed false information. But they don't care because it's entertaining. And so one thing that I've always tried to do is, yeah, we try to do the comedy thing, but, you know, we don't do like outrageous stunts that will get us a bunch of attention, because that's not really what I want. You know, like, I want people that listen to this podcast, for example, to just listen because they like to hear you and me talk. Not because we're like, I don't know, fucking burning copies of Batman and talking bad about Tom King every week. You know what I'm saying?
But we do that too.
Well, yes. But I mean, we could do it in a way that would be shocking and, you know, generate a lot more listenership. But it's not listenership that I would want to have.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, so back to back to this thing.
Can I ask you, going back to the Disney?
Yeah.
Where do you think Disney XD will land? I'm sure they have a contract with all cable companies to be giving them content through, you know, X date.
Mm-hmm.
But once that date's up, do you think they just take their content and like, well, you can come over to, you know, Disney streaming. We're all over here now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on what the deals are going forward. Because, like, the Marvel Netflix shows are staying at Netflix.
Yes. Is that just a time being type of thing?
From my understanding, it's an always type thing.
Oh, okay.
Now I don't know like what the distribution deal is, so I don't know if maybe Disney could put Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, or Daredevil or whatever on their new service after, say, like when season two starts, they could put season one up, you know, something like that maybe. I have no idea.
I'm sure. My guess is those contracts, whatever they say now, they might be upheld, but once those contracts are done, I'm sure there's going to be different wording in there.
Oh, absolutely.
Just like, I mean, even if you just look at HBO, like HBO, all of a sudden, when was it? 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when HBO Go premiered, it was pretty much launched. Like, you could almost tell that they had that ready to go. And once this date hit, with, you know, whatever their contract said before the new one started, here's HBO Go, and now it's on iTunes the following day.
Yeah,
where before that was never a thing. You couldn't do that until what, the DVD came out. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden it was available for streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't see, especially Disney. I don't see them, if they want to have their content, they're going to have their content wherever they want to put it.
Yeah,
they're way too big.
That's what she said.
But Disney XD, I think that's an interesting use case, just because that sort of is the Nickelodeon now for a lot of kids.
Oh, yeah.
So if that just went away from a cable system, holy cow, that's like taking like ESPN away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of families that would be like, why do we have cable now if, you know, Johnny isn't watching this anymore? Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I thought this last 5 years was really fascinating. The next 5 years is going to be, there's going to be some good books and documentaries put out about it, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But how much would you pay for a DC Unlimited if they had the comics and whatever other crap they want to do?
If they did a DC Unlimited with the streaming?
Yep.
Do I want it to be below $20? Sure. But would I pay possibly $20 a month? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But am I waiting 6 months for new issues? Like, if DC wants to shake it up and just be like, sorry, brick and mortar stores, day one downloads available.
Mm.
They could do that.
And I don't think they would do that.
They wouldn't. I don't think they would, but I mean, there's been some weird Marvel Unlimited stuff happen in the last couple of years, so you never know.
Mm-hmm.
These big companies might try to test the water a little.
True.
You just don't know.
That's very true.
Yeah, but the sad thing, okay, let's put it this way. If DC came out with a service that was very similar to Marvel Unlimited year two or three, not where it is now, but like, you know, a little bit better than year one of Marvel Unlimited, I think I would actually wait at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would actually wait for them to get a lot of original content out.
Mm-hmm.
So I can sort of see how that water is being tested. And then, because I'm sure I would get it. But I sort of want to see the roadmap. I want to see where they're going.
I mean, I think they announced 5 shows. I think that's a pretty good number to launch with.
Yeah. But are they going to keep those supported?
Well,
or is it just like, oh, we did 5 episodes of Swamp Thing and it's over. But hey, guys, next year we're in production to do this new live show.
And like, see, that's the problem.
I don't know.
That's the problem that Netflix has. That's why they spend so much money to keep people coming back and resubscribing.
Yeah, engaged.
You have to have fresh content all the time. And if mm-hmm. all they're going to do is 5 shows for the first year, that may not be enough for a lot of people.
Sure.
You know, I mean, 5 shows, we'll just say, let's just say 13 episodes for a season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or 10 even. I mean, the Netflix stuff, the Marvel Netflix is like 8 or 10 right now, I think. Which is kind of a sweet spot, I would say. So, mm-hmm. I mean, 10 episodes, 5 shows, that's 50 episodes. I mean, I don't think that's going to hold you off for a year.
Yeah. Especially a person that wants new content.
Yeah.
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 But could they also do a Talking Heads show talking about comics? Could they do documentaries? Could they do... Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if I heard that, that would be enough for me to be like, they do a daily, like, DC-centric discussion? Oh, okay. Like, there's stuff like that that would be very attractive to me. So it doesn't.
So what you're saying is
DC Unlimited.
What you're saying is you would like a show. We'll just call it like DC Talk Today, where it comes out like every day.
Yes.
I like the way you think, Nick.
I would like an interview show like that. I would like to have that content cataloged. So guess what? If I don't join up day one, I have all this back catalog I can listen to.
Mm.
It's like my podcasts.
Mm.
Like, some are on premium services. But guess what? Once I join up with that premium service, I can go back and listen to hundreds of hours of content.
Yeah.
And really, I hate to say it, Talking Head shows, not too hard to do.
Oh, no.
You need a set, or just not even a set, a green screen. I'm not asking for much, buddy. You know, like, I am not. Like, if it's even close to like a Saturday Night Live set, I would be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just fill me in. Like, you know how many people I follow on social just to get, and thank God you're doing God's work on like Comic Talk Today, because I go there and I listen to it. It's 25 minutes long. And I know what's coming out this week, and I know the creative team that's doing it. Or, oh, you're doing, I'm thinking that this is going to be a great issue for this reason and this reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, great. All right. Like, will I run out and buy an issue because of it? Yeah. But without those type of things, I'm completely lost. There is no Wizard magazine anymore. I don't read previews. So I don't really want to go to like, the problem is, could I see DC buying Comic Book Resource? Yeah. Because they already have things built. Like, there's a lot of people that are on YouTube right now that, guess what, DC backs up, not even the Brinks truck, backs up with a pickup truck and throws out a bundle of cash to these people to have them buy green screens.
Mm-hmm.
And like, hey, we're going to send over our stylist for you. Yeah, you got to do something with that.
Yep.
Like, that is not a lot of money. And I guarantee you, those people, if you start paying them, there goes their YouTube channel, and then it's like, yep, I'll start doing that right now for you.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's living the dream right there.
Well, you know, CBS bought comicbook.com last month.
Ooh, I did not know.
Yeah. Well, CBS Interactive, so it's related, but not really.
Hmm.
Yep.
That's curious.
Isn't CBS, aren't the ones that they bought Comic Vine, whatever, many years ago?
Yes, Comic Vine is under them, yes.
Yeah. And that's when it went downhill.
Because
they used to be, was it Comic Vine, Giant Bomb, there was another one.
Filmstruck?
Film Rant.
Yeah.
Film Rant. Because it was a podcast network.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got bought, except Giant Bomb wasn't part of the deal, I think, right? Giant Bomb became its own thing.
It's Whiskey Media.
Whiskey Media, yep.
And they did buy Giant Bomb.
Oh, they did? What was the one that they didn't? Yeah. There was one that they did not buy. It was not part of the deal.
Hmm.
And it doesn't matter.
Was that their tech show?
Maybe.
Might have been their tech show.
Yeah, maybe. When Comic Vine was great.
Hey, you want to be support, you know, like, and guess what? The guy that ran Comic Vine, DC, pick him up. Like, that guy's a fan. He knows his shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give him a green screen and he will be your talking head every day, talking about the history of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the one thing he didn't have, was money.
Right.
So, money and resources.
Yep.
Like, there's plenty of people out there you could tap. Now, is this project something that's like, oh, in 20 years down the road? No, it could be like G4. Like, mm-hmm. G4 definitely had an arc.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden people look at the bottom line and, my God, we have a lot of people on this payroll.
Yep.
What are we doing? Just put on Cops and Knight Rider and get rid of some of these people.
Here you go, Nick. Newsarama is owned by Imaginova. I don't know who that is. CBR is owned by Valnet Inc. Comics Beat is owned by Lion Forge. And ooh. CBS owns comicbook.com.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like they're living the dream.
Living the dream. But see, the thing is, I don't want them to buy a media outlet. Like, I understand that gives you built-in talent to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But then, like, you have... can I say jaded? Jaded's a good note. Yeah, we'll go with jaded. You don't get, like, true reporting. God, that sounds so bad, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, this is terrible. Lou Dobbs. He owns Imaginova. How interesting. The CNN guy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So random. Anyway, I don't want to buy outlets, and then those outlets just become, like, a marketing arm of... whatever the company owns them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but welcome to business.
Sure, yeah. Well, I guess then you always have independent podcasters and YouTubers, right?
Yeah. And trust me, hey, guess what? If somebody raised up their hand and was like, hey, Nick Martin, why don't you come over here? Do exactly what you're doing. But here's some finance for you. Like, mm-hmm. huh. Like, that would be a head-scratching moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Who doesn't want to live the dream? I mean, you and I just talked last week about winning the lottery and let's read comic books, hang out with our significant others, and, like, podcast. Who doesn't? Yeah, that's the dream.
The dream. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it was in the 90s when it's like all these evil corporations trying to buy this Beach Boys song to put on their commercial. How dare you, Nike? At this point, it's like, hey, guess what? Brian Wilson needs a little cheddar too. So let him, you know, let him sell that dumb song that's like how many decades old? It's like, yeah, you can't fault anybody for that. You just hope that they have a social conscience that's not like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that for North Korea. Yeah. I'm going to do that for, you know, and I could name somebody off in our current administration. You hope that the cheddar isn't so much that's like, yep, I'm going to give Trump's looking for a re-election song. I'm Brian Wilson. Here's my song. Like, no, you hope he doesn't do that. But, you know, hey, sometimes people's social conscience is tied to their checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got a lot of mouths to feed.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, but, I can't. That streaming service would be really interesting.
I'm ready. As soon as they announce it, I'm in.
You're there?
Day one? Oh, yeah. Day one, I'm in.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Look at you, early adopter.
Yep. Dude, I'm a DC guy. Of course I'm in.
I know you are, sweet cheeks. Don't worry about it. I get it.
I'm in.
You're not even looking for, like, oh, it's already... could they possibly send me an email giving me a fan rate? You don't even care. You're like, as soon as that URL's live, click the button. Let's go.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You're pushing Jeff Johns out of the way to put your credit card information in.
You got that right.
You're like, wait, Dan Didio, Keith Giffen, who's this Martin Ferretti? How did he sign up, the third person to sign up? What the fuck? And then, like, Jim Lee, Jeff Johns. You're like, you're already Boom!
Mm-hmm.
My credit card and valuable information auto-completed, dum-dums. I'm in!
Yep. Well, I already signed up for the reminder thing. They have they have a landing page. You can put your email in there so they email you when it launches.
Oh, boy.
Of course, they have my junk email, not my real email, so...
You're one of the problem children. I need to know right now. Oh, too funny. What? Well, hey, let me know when they send you the email of like, hey, you could get $5 off by signing up friends. Mm-hmm, let me know when that email hits you, because that's when I'll sign up so you can get a little cheddar in your pocket. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in any rush, son. But would I love it if they did day one digital? Yes. Yes, I would. Oh, my God. I think I would even be like, Liz, I'm going to stop Marvel Unlimited and start up DC. Mm-hmm. Day one digital. Yeah. Guess who's reading 52 comics every month? This guy. Because I would.
Uh-huh. See, and that's the thing, right? Because you don't read a whole lot of floppies anyway. But,
no.
You know, like for the average person, if this is costing them the price of, you know, 3 or 4 DC comics per month, then hell yeah, you're going to sign up.
Hell yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Now, let me ask you, Mr. Ferretti.
Yeah.
Is your... Okay, two questions.
Yeah.
One, is your wife not in the room?
She's not. I'm in the studio.
Okay, two... As long as you can't hear this answer. Two, looking at the comics that you buy currently, and I know you're bloated at this point with your purchases, which is cray-cray. We gotta trim down that. Sometime down the road, down the Nerdy Legion road, we have to take a look at that. We gotta do a culling. But would you look at your purchases and reduce that in order to pay for DC streaming? Would you reduce your intake by 5 comic books? Or your lowest DC comic books, knowing that in 6 months, that's going to be there. And it's just okay right now. So I'll just get that digitally. I don't really need to own that thing.
I don't know. That depends.
Well, let's mull it over a little.
I mean, there's always going to be books that I'm going to buy regardless, right? Batman and Detective.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And then any, like, tie-in Batman stuff I'll still buy. Mm-hmm. Or like, the Busiek book, The Creature of the Night, I'll still keep on buying that, for example. Other stuff, like, I'd be okay with dropping. But I don't know if it would... I don't know, I'd have to see how it turns out when it actually happens. I almost feel like whatever I would not spend on DC because I have the unlimited service,
mm-hmm.
I would maybe use that and buy other stuff. Like maybe
more
indie comics.
I know you're not buying a lot of Marvel.
You know, I always say that, and then I look at the Marvel stuff that I buy, and I'm like, crap, it's a lot more than I thought it was.
But my point is, do you think by not buying a lot of Marvel, in your head, you're just like, I'll read that in 6 months on Marvel Unlimited?
Yeah, there might be some of that.
Okay.
I think
I understand you have to read it. You have to read some stuff for Comic Talk today. I totally get that. But I love that your slant is a little bit more indie with a few mainstream things thrown in. That's fun.
Yeah.
And I hope that doesn't stop. I don't want you to start reducing your indie intake, but I mean, to be honest with you, you could just say, I don't want any of those Justice League titles, and right there is DC Unlimited.
It's true. Isn't that what I said? I said that yesterday, didn't I?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I did. You must have read my mind.
I didn't read you saying.
Yeah. No, I remember because I put Justice League No Justice number 1 on my list, on the comic predictor list. Only because I knew I was going to buy it because I want to know what it's about. But my issue is, based on what I saw on DC Nation last week, It's going to be hot garbage.
I
haven't read it yet, so I don't know.
Sure. But just instantly telling yourself, I'm not going to buy Justice League, whether it's great or terrible, because that's going to pay for DC Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that a decent enough trade-off for you to be like, yep, I took it out of one pocket and put it into the other?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a good justification. If you can do that and steer clear of, like, I got to buy that hardback when it comes out. I got to buy the trade when it comes. Like, you just have to avoid the shiny ball that's being dangled in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there's ways. There's ways you can afford it, especially if they get in the cadence and officially say, this comic will be out in 6 months. This comic will be out in 4 months or whatever it is. Because who made up 6 months? Like, is 6 months just Marvel's way of letting the brick and mortar people know, like, hey, in 6 months, the trade's going to be out.
Right.
So at that point, who the hell cares?
Yep. That is correct.
Where if I was DC, I'd be like, look, our trades come out in 4 months. So that's when our digital comic's coming out. I would be undercutting Marvel left and right.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. I love it. What else you got for me, Nick?
I wrapped up a couple rabbit holes I went down.
Ooh, do tell.
I went to Netflix on Friday, and I don't know what mood I was in, but all of a sudden I saw John Mulaney had a new stand-up special.
Oh, we watched it last night, yes.
Holy Christ, did that kill me.
That was hilarious.
Just the stuff about his father and mother worked. Oh my God, it slayed me.
Dude, that thing, the street smarts thing, was freaking awesome.
Dude, I've seen that guy, because he does like Chicago suburbs. Like he's on like cable access shows back in the day, so I totally knew street smarts. Oh my God, it's so good. John Bittenbinder.
Bittenbinder, yep.
Yeah. And he does have a crazy mustache. You should check out a picture. He's crazy. But he had me, Mulaney had me rolling on that special, that it sent me down a rabbit hole, and I put his other two Netflix specials in my queue.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched both of them.
Oh my God.
All in a weekend. And then Hollywood Travis, throws out a GIF of Mulaney and Nick Kroll dressed up as the two old guys that they did the Broadway show of.
Uh-huh.
I think it's called Oh My. And I've seen them on like late night talk shows go on as those characters or go on as themselves talking about those characters.
Uh-huh.
And I always wanted to see those two together because I like Nick Kroll too. And Hollywood Travis, a shout out to him. I mean, he's my man. He's like, you realize they filmed the Oh My live stage production and it's a Netflix original.
Huh.
And I was like, stop the effing boat. Are you sealed? Because I saw him on all these late night shows and they kept calling out like, oh, every night we have a celebrity in the audience that we call up and we interact with them and it's all improv and, you know, call up for like a little portion of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But most of it is just those two in character, like dressed up as old men in character for an hour and a half. And sure enough, Travis was right. I went in and typed in Mulaney Nick Kroll, and it's like, there it is, Netflix original. And I was like, yes. So I watched like four John Mulaney-centric things, and oh my God. Like, after that, and I mean, I knew him from Saturday Night Live, but I never watched his Fox show. And now I want to find his damn show, because the knock against it was, it's very Seinfeld.
Uh-huh.
And at this point, after seeing his stand-up, especially the most recent one, is absolutely the best, without a doubt. But to see his stand-up at this point, it's like, okay, so it's sort of he modeled it after Seinfeld. Other than that, who the hell cares?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Seinfeld's a pretty good model. So now I have to go to Netflix or Amazon. I have to find if it's streaming.
I don't know, dude. That Tom Jones bit that he did on the last stand-up was freaking awesome, too.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Yep. I mean, he has a very, very interesting mind. And the way he... And I even wrote about the new stand-up. I sent a tweet to him just like how he owns that stage, walking side to side, and the way his voice goes up and down.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big skill.
Oh, yeah.
It was so well written as well as acted. Like, it's just, good God, give me more John Mulaney. That's all I know. I want more. So I watched those four things. I wrapped up watching the Netflix original series Lost in Space.
Oh, you finished it?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Did it get good again?
I don't know when it got bad.
Okay. I lost interest around episode 6.
Oh, you're almost done, dude.
I know. Oh, no, not 6. 5. Whenever they start introducing all those people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. There's highs and lows to that season.
Yeah.
I see some of the issues. At the end of the day, it's a pretty smart sci-fi television show.
Mm-hmm.
In the first episode, when they're talking about phosphorus, how they need phosphorus to rescue his daughter who is being frozen in this pond. And the solution was phosphorus because it's a hot element, but it only becomes hotter when added to water.
Yep.
And right then, I just looked over at my wife and I'm like, this is some smart sci-fi. And they keep throwing little chunks in like that throughout the season to keep my interest. Because you know I like smart sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always smart. And it falls into the trappings of a typical sci-fi show.
Hmm.
But if they're basing this show on the original television show, you almost have to forgive the wholesomeness of it. Like, it is basically about a family lost in space.
Right, right, right.
Like, everything else is, for me, becomes incidental. Like, I'm watching the relationship of the family. And that, I thought, was fascinating. Did you see the wife trapped in a car?
I don't think so.
Okay. That was a pretty intriguing, smart sci-fi thing. As well as very emotional. But like I said, I had connections with the family. Like Parker Posey, good God, I hated her character throughout the entire season. She just, and usually she's a good actor, but I didn't see that character whatsoever. Hmm. And it's almost one of those, like, the way her character is written in a way that it lets the writers off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Because she can't. She's not predictable. So, like, as soon as you throw that conceit in, then it's like, well, then I can never hold her accountable for anything. Because she's a wild card. Like, oh, God. But honestly, as soon as I reduce that show just to the family element,
uh-huh,
it's a really good show.
Yep.
And I got to say, Mark, you have to get through it because the last episode, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but the last episode ends in a really cool, unique way.
Hmm.
It reminded me of, like, neat Star Trek season enders.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right, maybe I'll stick with it.
Fun. Yeah, there's a couple points that was, and I gotta say, even the flashback stuff, like, you get the how frustrating and like upset the two parents are towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then they use the flashbacks in a way to like open up that a little bit and let you understand and see it from both sides. And that was pretty interesting. Like, everything paid off. Like, the mother getting Will, the son, accepted, even though he failed the test. Like, you find out why she did that, and you also, like, it comes back. Like, there is no dangling part. You could watch this entire season, and it's pretty well contained.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's good. Right. It's fun.
I'll get back to it.
Yeah, I hope you do.
I promise.
Yeah, you only have a couple more hours. Think of it that way.
I know, but there's so much to watch.
I know. And I also watched and finished, because my wife finally said, I'm not going to watch that. I watched Wild Wild Country on your recommendation.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was
insane.
Netflix is hitting it, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, except there is one thing. Was that 8 episodes?
I think so.
Because I thought it was 4. And at the end of the 4th episode, I was like, this should be over. What are you doing going to the next episode? No. Mm-hmm. Like, oh. And then when I backed out, I was like, oh my God, 8 episodes. How was this 8 episodes? And from that point till the very end, in my head, I was just like, this show is so good and has so much to tell, yet it could be edited down 2 episodes. It does not need to be 8 episodes.
Yeah,
no
I guess
way.
So. I guess
they
so.
Just let it breathe a little bit too long. And you could, for me, the key for a good documentary is the editing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people, directors, cameramen, editors fall in love with certain shots that they just won't take out.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what it felt like, but it was a freaking fascinating story. And I just want to watch more and more of stuff like that.
Yeah, and what's funny, though, is they actually left a lot of stuff out.
Ugh, I couldn't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like everything was turned. Every page. It felt like every leaf was turned over. It's like, how much more can we talk about here? Holy mackerel!
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
And I love that time period when you can go, and especially like from the 70s, 80s till now, when you can go back and like. People are really obsessed with home video. So they're filming everything.
Mm.
And then a documentary is made with all that footage.
Mm-hmm.
Or like now, all of a sudden, like there's all these security cameras and they make a documentary and use footage instead of recreating. It was really good though.
Mm.
It got the thumbs up.
Good. Well, you need to put Manhunt on your list.
And it already is.
Okay, good. And then you got to put Wormwood on your list.
That already is as well.
Good. You're a good boy today.
I am. I'm trying, man. I don't think Manhunt. I don't think I can watch that before bed. Just
Manhunt?
By some of the descriptions.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
It's good, though. It's really good.
I don't need somebody underneath my bed. Or in the closet. I don't need that.
Oh, shit.
But no, there's been some really good stuff and good recommendations, too.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah. Did I tell you I watched the Justice League of America, or Justice League, Blu-ray, as well as all of the extras?
You did not.
Yes. It's a good... The Blu-ray is a good little... version of it. It is fantastic. But the extras? A lot of them felt like, you ever see like those making of shows that are on Sci-Fi?
Mm-hmm.
They feel like that.
Mm.
So they might have like six of those shows, like, oh, the, you know, the power of Superman. So then it's like 18 minutes talking about the history of Superman with all these talking heads, and they're all like DC bigwigs.
Right.
So that's exciting. And they're showing, you know, comic art and movie, you know, movie scenes. But then all of a sudden you go on to like the making of the Justice League, and it's the same talking heads, just a different narrator talking about their. So obviously they like Geoff Johns talk about Justice League, the, you know, the creation of the comic. Geoff Johns talk about your first interaction with Superman. And you could just tell, like, it, if everybody was in the same like shirt, I wouldn't be surprised if it was all filmed on one day. Just broken up into like 20-minute segments.
Uh-huh.
But it was still, it was, there was nothing enlightening. But, you know, it's nice to hear Jim Lee like sing about, you know, Batman or whatever.
Hmm.
But nothing that's like, Martin, you have to go out and buy that Blu-ray because you gotta see the act now. No, you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
But Amy Adams, Diane Ladd still can make me cry.
I love that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was great. That might have been the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not huge on the
extras, so. I know you are, though. You love you some extras.
I do.
Yeah.
And I told you to rent the Wonder Woman DVD, Blu-ray, whatever, so you can see the Mother Box.
Oh, yeah.
Extra scene.
Dude, I don't even know if I have a DVD or Blu-ray player in this house. I'm serious.
That's scary, but I completely understand it.
Yeah.
If I didn't have a PS4, I wouldn't have a Blu-ray player. No way in hell.
I gotta ask my wife. Maybe she's got one in the closet.
Yeah, now you don't. It's not even like your laptop will have a disc player in it at this point.
Yeah, no. None of the computers in this house have disc player. Actually, you know what? Zoe's laptop does. But nothing else in here that I know of.
Very good.
All right, Nick. It is time to depart.
Yes?
It's time to take this couch and have somebody dry clean it. You dry clean couches? You do now.
Well, we usually just fold it up and put it into our magic closet.
Yeah, but you know, after 151 episodes, we gotta wash this thing. It's getting stinky.
We could just sprinkle some dust on it.
There's years of farts on this couch and who knows what else.
Remember that stuff that they used to do in like the 90s, 2000s?
What?
When you had carpet and your mom would go, or your dad or whoever, would go and sprinkle like from this plastic canister, this white powder all over everything and then vacuum it up.
Yep.
That stuff ain't around anymore. Like, what were we breathing in? Yes, but it smells like lilacs. Like, that's like my mom. If you were to be like, this couch smells, my mom would be, whatever it was called, carpet, right? Whatever the hell it is. She would take that stuff out and sprinkle it even on the couch. And then, like, let me get the vacuum up there.
That's hilarious.
Oh my god, that stuff ain't around anymore. No way.
No way.
We can clean the couch.
Yeah, we gotta clean it. It's nasty. Or we might just need to buy a new couch by this point.
Well, what about this? How about we look for a new couch, but in the interim, we finally can use our giant hammock.
Wouldn't that be cozy? Just for the summer, because it's nice out.
Yeah, it's warming up. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's nice out. Let's leave it out.
All right. We'll be back next week to sit on the comfy hammock. Thanks for tuning in to the Nerd Legion podcast. Nick is at Nick Wetmore. I'm at Geekvine. The show is at Nerd Legion. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.